This morning, we're going to continue our study on having a little talk with Jesus. If you remember from last week, we looked at Nicodemus and how he came to Jesus and how they talked with each other. Nicodemus was one of the very elite of the elitist of the Jews. I mean, he was a member of the Sanhedrin, a Pharisee, so he would have studied the Scriptures and held to them in the finest detail. And so we have Nicodemus is maybe on the very highest social structure of the Jews. Today in chapter 4, we're going to look at another person that talks with Jesus, but they're not on the same stature as Nicodemus. In fact, they're probably the lowest social scale that we can think of. If you look over to chapter 4, at the beginning of chapter 4, Jesus is traveling from Jerusalem up to Galilee. And if you ever looked at a map, you've got Jerusalem in the southern part, and Galilee is around 75 miles north. And it's the Lake of Sea of Galilee, and they have all the little towns around it, and that's where Jesus is going to. But to get to Galilee from Jerusalem, you have to pass through Samaria. Now, Samaria was an area where the northern kingdom at one time had been, and now is the people there in Samaria consider themselves Israelites. But the Jews did not consider them to be Israelites. And so there was a great conflict between the two. And you will see that as we go through our lesson today. If you look, have a Bible in chapter 4, beginning in verse 4. Now, he, talking about Jesus, had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his sons Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew. I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For the Jews do not associate with the Samaritans. Now, in the very beginning, you see the difference between Jesus and this woman. They had been traveling, walking from Jerusalem up to Galilee. It's the sixth hour of the day. That's either 12 noon or 6 o'clock at night. We really don't know. Depends on how they kept time, whether that was the Romans or the Jewish way of keeping time. But it really doesn't matter. The point is that Jesus was tired from the traveling. And so he sits down, he's tired, he's thirsty, and a woman comes up and he asks her for a drink of water. Now to us, that wouldn't sound too like such a big thing. But here you can see it was a big thing. Because for a Jewish man, they didn't even usually speak to women in public. But here, not only was it a woman, but it was a Samaritan. Now, we don't know how she knew that Jesus was a Jew. Probably she had maybe passed his disciples on the way to town, or by his dress, or even by his accent. But however, she knew that he was a Jew, and Jews don't usually have anything to do with Samaritans, but much less a Samaritan woman. And then he asked her for a drink. And that's even going another step further because, as she said, Jews don't associate with Samaritans. What that actually, if you go back and actually what it says is Jews don't use anything with Samaritans. And what it really means is that Jews would not drink out of a cup that a Samaritan had drank out of. They wouldn't drink after a Samaritan. Now, in our culture, say, well, he didn't want to catch any germs. Well, they didn't think about germs back then. That wasn't the reason they weren't going to drink after the person. It was because they would be defiled. In other words, the Jews looked upon the Samaritans to such an extent that if I used a cup that a Samaritan had used, it would make me unclean before God. That's how low they looked upon the Samaritans. And so here was Jesus, a Jew, conversing or talking to the Samaritan woman. That's beyond what they normally do. But he goes even further than that and asks her for a drink of water, to use the same cup that she would be using. The idea of reaching out to the others is something also, well, we would never treat somebody like that. And most of us would think that we would never treat somebody like the Jews would treat the Samaritans. But sometimes we do, and we don't think about it, do we? If you look over to Romans chapter 12, a verse we looked at just last week, in Romans 12, Paul says these words to us. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. In some translations, it's do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. And sometimes we think, well, we do that, but sometimes we don't. Sometimes we sort of put blinders up, and we don't associate with people that maybe we don't think about. And we go through our lesson today and say an awful lot of the lesson today is about being aware of what's around us. Because so often, we're just not aware of the people around us. And it's easy for us just to ignore other people. Somebody that's different from us, we can just ignore that person and go on with our lives. And too often, that's exactly what we do. Throughout the New Testament, one of the ideas is having fellowship one with another, coming together. In Galatians 3:28, Paul says that neither male nor female, we're all one in Christ. And the idea that we come together as one, it's neither a slave nor free, Greek or Jew, we're all one. And we're not to look upon anyone else as being any different from us. We're to be together in the Lord. Now look at the reply that we have in chapter 4. Look at verse 10. Jesus said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." Now this is the theme that we're going to see in our lesson today. The idea of coming to Christ for living water. The idea of living water was really flowing water, and it was much, much more valuable than water that was sitting in a cistern or in a well, because that water was just sitting and could become contaminated, where flowing water from like a river was just better water. And so Jesus says, if you knew who it was that asked you, and if you knew the gift that he would offer you, you would have asked him. Now you think about us. Do we sometimes fail to look and see Jesus? This woman did. She didn't understand this was Jesus or the Messiah. And you say, well, we see Jesus. We think about him. We pray to him. And we come to worship him this morning. But do we ever fail to see Jesus? Do we fail to see him in our lives? Look over to Matthew chapter 25. Jesus gives a very pointed reply to this idea. In chapter 25, Jesus gives this right before, just a few days before he goes to the cross. And listen to what Jesus says. When the Son of Man, this is chapter 25, beginning in verse 31. I'm going to read a couple verses and skip down to verse 41. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory, and all the nations will be gathered before him. And he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates sheep from the goats. Now look down to verse 41. Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, who go into the eternal fire. Prepare for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was thirsty, and you gave..." I'm sorry, "I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not look after me." Then they will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick and we did not help you?" And he will reply, "I will tell you the truth. Whatever you did not do for the least of these, you did not do for me." How often do we fall into that? We just go through our lives so quickly that we don't see the needs around us. And Jesus says, if you didn't do it for those around you, you didn't do it for me. And so just as this woman was at the well and failed to see Jesus, too often in our own lives, if we're not careful, we can fail to see Jesus just as well and fail to do the things that we should be about. Think about the second question. It says, if you knew the gift that was offered, do we realize the gift that God offers us? If you look at our lives, sometimes you would think that we don't recognize the things that are really important in our lives. What does Jesus really offer us? What are the things that we really want in our lives? Jesus offers you rest. Isn't one of those things we want is to have rest? Jesus says, come unto me, all you who are burdened, and I will give you rest. The rest comes from Jesus. Don't we want harmony and peace in our lives? Jesus says, I will give you peace, not the way the world does, but I will give you true peace. Peace, grace, mercy. These are the gifts that Jesus offers us. But too often, we're too busy to even look and think about what is the gift that's offered and who it is that's offering that gift to us. In the parable of the sower, Jesus says these words to those who had those gifts and allowed it to fall away. He says, the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth of the material things of this world, and just the desire for other things, choke out the love of the Word in our lives. And that's true today. We get so busy in our lives, so many things going on, that we forget about the very gift that's being offered to us by our Lord and Savior. And we forget about where true rest and true peace and the true grace and mercy that come from our Father. Because we just get too busy. And the desire for other things, the striving after the things of this world. It's Jesus is going to make a contrast between living water, the true things of life, and the water that's offered from the well. And he's going to go through this and offer it and think about our own lives. Do we give up the very precious things for things that aren't worth nearly as much? And too often that's exactly what we do. Look at her reply to Jesus in verses 11 and 12. Sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his flocks and his herds? How do you justify the choices you make in life? Most of us make many choices in life, and often we make choices that we know aren't maybe the best choices that we could make. But we justify them different ways, don't we? We looked a few weeks back at what we call the moral law. We know what's right and wrong. It's almost like it's built into us knowing what's right or wrong. But often we don't do it. We do something else. Why? How do we justify it? When we're living in a life that we know is not quite in accordance with God's will, or we're not doing the things we should be doing, how do we justify it? How did this woman justify her life? We're going to see her life wasn't very good. But she justified it, didn't she, by saying, well, I'm a Jacob's well. I'm a descendant of Jacob. He gave us this well. And Jacob, you remember his name was changed to Israel. He's the father of the whole Jewish nation. So I must be okay. And too often we go through our lives and we justify things just like that or in ways similar. We say, well, I have a right to do this. Or don't you want me to be happy? I have a right to happiness. And so I can do these things. I can live the way I'm living. Or so often say, I'm just too old to change. This is the way I am. You should accept me the way that I am. And sometimes we want God. God, you just have to accept me the way that I am. And that's the way that we think about things. Or sometimes say, well, I just don't have time right now. Once in a little longer, I'll have more time. And then I can start doing the things I should be doing and living the way I should be living. And we're just like the woman at the well. We find a way to justify the things that we want to do and to make it seem like it's okay to do the things I want to do. Jesus doesn't allow that, does he? He doesn't say, well, that's okay. He didn't do that with Nicodemus. He told Nicodemus, this great Jew that sat on the Sanhedrin, that studied scriptures all of his life. He says, Nicodemus, you have to start all over again and be reborn. The same thing is going to be true with this woman. Look at verses 13 and 14 of John. And Jesus replied to her. She just told him basically that what she's doing okay because she's at Jacob's well. And Jesus replies, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. Whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, water I give him will become in him like a spring of water, welling up to eternal life. Do we believe the gift that's offered to us. Do we really believe these things? Too often we strive for the things of this world. And we look at the things of this world, they're going to satisfy us. But they're just like this water that you're going to need every single day. And they are not going to really satisfy you. When I was growing up, there was a song. I won't go through the whole song. But one of the lines in the song went something like this. That you can't be a man if you don't smoke the same cigarettes as me. You remember that? You might remember the song that I came from. And the idea is sometimes you see the Marlboro man sitting up there on his horse and being really being the big man and smoking a neat cigarette. In other words, you couldn't be cool if you didn't smoke Marlboro cigarettes. Now, you could take the same thing today. You're not cool unless you've got the right iPod, or you're not cool if you don't have the right kind of clothes to wear. Those are things we seek after, and we think that they're going to satisfy us. But as soon as you get them, you know that there's just another model that came out next week. Then you've got to have that model, and the model you have now is old, and you're not so cool anymore. The things of this world are fickle. As soon as we think that we've got something in this world, we don't. And we think this world is going to bring us satisfaction. It doesn't. And that's what Jesus is trying to get us to see. You come to this well, you've got to keep coming to this well every single day to get water. But if you would just come to me, I will give you water that will last for eternity. And that's what the same thing that Jesus offers us today. And too often we get so caught up in this world, striving after the things of this world, that we fail to see the gift that's offered to us, that's freely offered to us, if we would just come to our Lord and Savior. Now look at the next verse as we go on down again to this woman. Look at verse 15. Sir, give me this water so that I won't have to be thirsty and keep coming to draw the water. And he told her, go, call your husband and come back. I have no husband, she replied. And Jesus said to her, you are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you've had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have said is quite true. Ever realize how well the Lord knows us? Sometimes we think we can sort of hide our lies, but the Lord knows us. This woman had had five husbands. You think about our lives. Not many of us would raise ourselves up above this woman. She's had five husbands and is now living with someone that wasn't her husband. She was definitely a very immoral person. Jesus, though, reaches out to her. If you look at chapters 3 and 4, you start off with Nicodemus, who was on the very highest level socially. Now we have a woman that's on the very lowest level. A woman has been married five times and now living with somebody that's not her husband. So she's a very immoral person. Yet Jesus can wrap his arms around both of them. Now we're all going to be somewhere in between those two. Which means there's not anyone in here that Jesus doesn't reach out to. It doesn't matter how high you are or how low you are. Our Lord and Savior reaches out to everyone. Just as he does her. He knows you. He knows you better than you know yourself. On the Sermon on the Mount, he says we should pray. Your Heavenly Father knows the things that you need, but he still wants us to pray for him. But he knows us. The hair on your head are numbered. Which one of us can know how many hairs we have? In fact, it changes all the time because a lot of our hairs are falling out. But the Lord knows how many you have. He knows how many you have at each instant. He knows you better than you know yourself. He knows your needs. And he still loves and reaches out to each and every one of us. Notice the way that Jesus closes this. She again tries to justify herself by where they worship. And look down in verse 21. Jesus declared, believe me, woman, a time is coming when you worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth. And that's where we are to worship the Lord, to come to Him in spirit and in truth. He said the Samaritans worshiped what they did not know. They only worshiped, only kept the first five books, known as the Torah, the first five books. They didn't read the Psalms or the other writings of the Old Testament. And so Jesus referred to them, you sort of thrown away the revelation of God. That's not for us to do. God has given us His revelation. We know God because of the things that He's given us. And so in worshiping in truth, that means worshiping according to God's revelation to us. Not what we might think or what we feel is a good way, but according to God's way, according to His truth, and according to our spirit, our very being, when we come to the Lord. We come to the Lord, we can truly know Him. 2 Timothy 1:12 is a verse that we often sing in a song. We didn't sing it today because we sang it just 2 weeks ago. But in these verses, Paul says, I know whom I have believed. And if you look at Paul's life, he knew who he believed. And he knew that because he believed in God, that he didn't have to worry about that day, that judgment day. In 1 John 4:13, John says, we know because of the Spirit that He's given us. And in 1 John 5:13, he says, we know because we have eternal life in Him. We can know these things. Throughout the Scriptures, if you just take a concordance and look how many times know is used, the Scripture says you can know God, you can know His will, and you can know that your salvation is within Him. In Romans 6:23, Paul says the wages of sin, or the final payment of this world, is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ. That's really what Jesus was offering the woman. So you can take the water, that's really the way this world is. You've got to keep coming back every day to be satisfied with the things of this world. Or you can take the eternal life that's offered, the gift of God that's offered to every one of us, if we come in obedience and belief in Jesus Christ. That gift never passes away. That gift gives you true life now and eternally. That's what Jesus offered the woman, and that's what's offered to us. And too often, we let it pass away. And too often, we get so tied up in the things of this world that we fail to see the gift and the one who gives and offers it to each and every one of us. Think about these two discussions that we've had. With Nicodemus, we had a person that was the elite of the elite. He was on the Sanhedrin, a Pharisee, from a rich and wealthy family. The very elite. And to him, Jesus says, you've got to start all over again. But Jesus reaches out to him. The Samaritan woman, we have a Samaritan, somebody the Jews don't even associate with. We have one that wasn't the most moral person. She'd been married 5 times and now we're living with somebody that wasn't her husband. Yet Jesus could reach out to her as well. He reaches out to every one of us wherever we are. And He knows us. He knows the good we've done. He knows the bad we've done. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our strength. And He loves us and reaches out to us. And every one of us is who He went to the cross when He died for. That's the gift that He offers to every one of us. The grace and the mercy and the peace that leads to eternal life in Him that goes on for all time. This morning, think about your life. Are you coming to the Lord? Are you seeking Him? Are you seeking that which will not pass away? Or are you living all your life for that water that does pass away, that doesn't really quench your thirst, that you're going to have to come back for more tomorrow? Why not live for that which doesn't pass away? That which is eternal. That which will last for all time. Why not live for that? Why not live for your Lord and your Savior? If you've never named Him as your Lord, why not be baptized into Christ today? Washing away your past life and arising to walk a new life, being reborn in Him. Or if you've started that walk, but you haven't been faithful to it, why not come back to your Lord today? If you have need to come in any way, won't you come as together we stand and sing.